This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's February 4th, episode 1097, brought to you by our auditors, listeners like you. Thank you so much. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you stopping by on this Wednesday. I should have uploaded taps today because it's a sad day for us middle-aged geeks everywhere.
Can I sing it?
Radio
Shack. Because I can hear it.
I know.
I can hear it every day from the Air Force Base. They play it every day at like 7 o'clock or something. I don't know. So I can do it. Tell everybody while I'm doing the music, tell everybody what happened.
All right. So sad. Radio Shack is reportedly in talks to sell off its stores to Sprint and close the rest of them. Unless it can find a buyer, Radio Shack is going out of business. I grew up with Radio Shack. Radio Shack was the only geek store in existence. Thank you, Jamie. Was the only geek store in existence when I was growing up. Everybody went to Radio Shack. My brother bought his first put it together, like build your own TV. That was our first color TV, was fun my brother built from Radio Shack.
Oh my gosh, it is a sad day for geeks everywhere because I would never try something like that. I remember I had to go get parts for making the potato clock at Radio Shack. So I don't know. The Radio Shack in my neighborhood was right next door to the record store. So I would go into the record store and my brother would go to Radio Shack, and that's kind of how we would spend our time. But, you know, I noticed, Glenn, that there's a restaurant, a Chipotle, I go to all the time because they have these tofu burritos, and
he's
vegan. I go there all the time. And I just noticed this is the last time that there's a Radio Shack right next door. And I'm like, never gone there, never noticed it. No, there's nobody ever there. So I think it's time, Glenn. I think it's time to let it go.
You know, I can't tell you last time I bought anything at Radio Shack. It's been a very long time. If you remember right, way, way back, they were truly a geek store because they had bits and parts and pieces of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So if you needed to repair your TV set. Yeah, that's right. But you actually could get into your TV set to repair it instead of just throw it out and buy a new one, which is what you do now. By the way, that TV that my brother built worked for about 3 weeks, and then the tube fried. So didn't.
Yeah, that's shocking. I think they said we had to go there to get the potato. You know how you had to make a potato clock in like elementary school and learn how potatoes can power the world? Yeah, I had to go there to like get the little things to stick in the potato. And I was like, this is the weirdest store I've ever been in.
Everybody's first science set when you were growing up was from Radio Shack. You know, the science set that you were supposed to be able to do 101 experiments with, and because you broke it in about the first 10 minutes, you couldn't do any. That science set. Yeah.
They had a rocket club, and you were supposed to go buy parts for your rocket at Radio Shack.
Right.
And I remember I had to do one rocket. Everybody had to do one, and mine blew up before it even launched, and I've hated Radio Shack ever since.
Do they still sell those rockets that you used to shoot up? And, you know, with the advent of, you know, of quadcopters and drones, I wonder if they still sell those rockets. I don't know.
You know what? I bet my rocket teacher, Mr. Boyd, he was like 100 when I was in fifth grade. So I don't know if he's still around, but I'll look him up on Facebook.
He's still around.
Mr. Boyd can tell me if they still have rockets for sale.
Maybe
would know.
There's something to breathing all those rocket fumes all those years. It kind of preserves you, and he's still around.
Maybe. Yeah. I'll look for him. Bless his heart. Well, we had a crazy overnight epic Facebook questions and answers, and we had tons of listener emails, so we're going to go through all that. But Jennifer, tell us what is on today's show.
On today's crappy list Wednesday edition, we will cover some clever listener responses from yesterday's Facebook question. And then trotting down the center, a couple of lists to help you quantify the sort of horse person you are or aren't, as well as the headlines from across the pond with Horse and Country TV. And last, the EquityMFG.com really bad ads drops the bar so low, it's a ground pull. And it's National Thank a Mailman Day. So if you see a postal worker going about his or her rounds, say thank you from a safe distance.
Happy birthday to our inventor friend, Katie Murphy. It's her birthday today. And did she head south? Do you know? You follow her on Facebook. Is she still up north in the frigid Arctic of Vermont, or did she head south?
I think that her very forgiving husband lets her head south.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, happy birthday wherever you are in this country, Katie, and we hope you're warm in the south.
Okay, are you ready for this? I'm going to throw out names like Affirmed and Aladar, Damascus and Dr. Fager, Swaps and Nashua, Seabiscuit and War Admiral. Over time and history, Glenn, we have had these battles between horse and other horse rival, and it is happening this weekend. This weekend is the weekend that Shared Belief, Jim Rome, radio host, his horse is running against the world country's horse, California Chrome. California Chrome and Shared Belief are going to battle this weekend, and we are going to have to be there. We never got to see Sunyata and Rachel Alexander. I mean, it's just part of things. We had to go for it. Haver de Grace and Blind Luck didn't really capture the interest of mainstream America. I'm quoting an article, by the way, on Blood Horse. I don't make all this up. I wish that was that good. I'd have a job at Blood Horse. So California Chrome and Shared Belief are going to run in the San Antonio Stakes. Not tomorrow. I keep thinking it's Friday because we're doing really bad ads. It's going to be on Saturday, February 7th at Santa Anita. And the reason this is such a huge, momentous race is, if you guys remember, Shared Belief was actually the favorite this year in the Breeders' Cup Classic. And Shared Belief was supposed to beat California Chrome. And Shared Belief never got to run. And you guys, we don't know him as well because he didn't get to run in the Derby, Preakness, or Belmont because he was injured. But he's won all sorts of smaller name stakes races, just as big a race, but smaller names. So he doesn't have quite the household name that California Chrome does, obviously. But it is going to be this weekend. It is going to be on. And if you remember, Shared Belief was mugged at the start of the Breeders' Cup Classic, and that's why he did not win. He came in fifth behind California Chrome. So it's going to be a good race. It's going to, hopefully, there'll be nobody messing up the race. They're just going to get a good break. They'll go to the front. Both these trainers are super old, and they have been really good friends for a long time. Both these horses are from California, so it's going to be dramatic and awesome. And I would also like to apologize. I would like to say... Glenn, are you ready for this?
Yes.
I was wrong. I was wrong.
You were wrong?
I was wrong.
About what?
I just, hold on, here we go. I got to. If you
you're
recall,
very seldom
I said,
admit you're wrong. I think you're wrong a lot. But you tell yourself to admit it.
I think you think I'm wrong a lot, but I'm not. I was wrong once, but I was mistaken. So thank you for getting that, Jennifer. So just to let everybody know that I said officially last week, I think I'm like, there's no way that California Chrome is going to run in the Dubai World Cup. No way that Santa Anita
is he going?
Why would he not? He is going to Dubai.
Those
like,
guys are all about
in...
the money. They're going to go. How did you even think they weren't going to go?
I didn't because they're kind of like, you know, country boys and they
yeah, but country boys
Santa
would like
Anita
to win $10 million.
I know. I was, like I said, I was wrong. I thought there's no way they'll abandon the Santa Anita handicap and the chance to run against Shared Belief and Bayern in that race. Not going to happen. It's going to happen. He's gone. He is out. He is going to Dubai. And they said that it's like a 3-month recovery from that race. So he'll run in Dubai and then we won't see him for a while. So there you go. I was wrong. I'm done talking about it now.
So is it going to get a softer field in Dubai? Do you think that's why they're going?
No, they said they were going to run them against the best in the world. There are some really strong horses right now that are running in Japan. And
Europe and Japan,
but a couple in Japan that are crazy fast with huge speed figures. I'm sounding like such a nerd. Sorry. So anyway, yes, there's going to be some good horses.
All right.
Yes. Yesterday, at the end of the show, we ran out of things to talk about. And actually, I think that's when Jamie and I do our best show, is when we're just blabbing about nothing. Because that's when we come up with our best ideas. And yesterday, at the end of the show, we had like...
According to us, it's our best show.
Not you could be wrong, but don't admit it.
Left. We had about 10 minutes left. We had no news stories left. We had nothing to talk about. We just chattered on. And I don't know what the subject of stuff in our hay came up. But I said, you know, we always used to find snakes in our hay. And then I said to Jennifer, just as a whim, I said, put the question of the day, what's the strangest thing you've ever found in a bale of hay? Oh, my God. Who would have thought that 15,000 people were reached with that? It has hundreds of comments. It has shares everywhere. Even Julie Goodnight shared it and got hundreds of comments. So I didn't really think it would be this big a topic, but... Wow, some of the stuff people have found in hay. And now we're going to take out, we kind of looked for the best ones, and we're taking out most of the dead animals because every kind of dead animal you could imagine has been found in hay, apparently. So we're taking
dead
out
animals. Parts of dead animals. And cute, fluffy, fuzzy animals, like the kind you love, not the kind like half a snake. Like we're talking like.
Well, you know, balers are not picky. Bailers are not picky, but what they put through, apparently. But so anyway, we have some examples here for you. Natalie sent in, this was a not dead animal. A live snake popped out as I was walking with a few flakes of hay. Needless to say, instantly dropped. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? I would be running. I'd be screaming. Not a fan
of
snakes.
That's amazing. I love Atwood Equestrian Services put that they have found in their hay a credit card.
Ooh,
a credit card.
Tried
like,
to use...
Did you use it? Did you call on it?
Right.
Did you do anything like that? And I love the Catherine Toops put an unopened, undamaged bottle of Crown Royal. Seriously?
Whoa.
They got
how does that make it sale?
Kittens in hay, but they can't cut up a thing of Crown Royal. And what I want to know is, Catherine, if you're listening, did you guys drink it? Come on.
And the poor tractor driver that day could not find his Crown Royal anywhere.
He's like patting his chest, like where's my nipper here?
Drunk by now.
Poor guy.
Patty sent this one, and I love this one. I found a tennis shoe. Thank goodness there was no body attached.
That's so funny. Oh, my gosh.
Brooke sent in this one. Now, Brooke is our friend who is the Percheron person. She trains and works with Percherons for a living. And we met her at the World Percheron Congress when we were up there. She said large portions of a skunk that had been put through the haybine. Some of the hay had an aroma, but not any worse than that. But when I was unloading the wagon, I got to grab a bale with the slimy skunk part sticking out.
Oh! She said
there was a great deal of shrieking and chittering, and I don't think I've ever thrown a bale so far.
Oh, my gosh. How about this one? Patty DeLuca found a live bat. A live bat. She said that every time the bale was jostled around, it made a rattling sound.
Okay.
I'd have cut that thing open in a field and run, like, because I would have thought it was a snake. I probably would have taken it to the desert and just left it there. Robin found Christmas lights, and Chris Leisher found a cell phone. A cell phone. I wonder if it was, like, chargeable, you know, like, hey. Free phone.
I love that another Brooke found half a handcuff. So it kind of makes you wonder, does she live near a prison? You know, what was the story there? Half a handcuff.
Half a handcuff. Where's the other half? Did they get cut off? Like somebody escaped and they...
Either that or there was some kinky stuff going on in that hayfield. One or the other.
Yeah, that's true. I should have thought that, but you're dirtier than I am, so that's probably what it was. Denise found a rollerblade. A rollerblade. And I don't know how this happens, but Robin LaBar found an antique three-prong pitchfork. No way, dude.
Oh, that's something
no
I want in your
way.
Hay. Connie found a bra. Connie found a bra, and get this. That I think the bra and the handcuff are probably together, don't you? She found a bra, and she found an Oriental porno magazine. Now,
somebody else wrote they found a Hustler. And I think, by the way, it's not Oriental pornos anymore. It's Asian porn. So you can call it that. They changed it, yeah.
I don't know how old Asian. This was. This could have been old. This could have been, like, you know, a really old thing.
Yeah, it's true. Somebody else found a Hustler. So there is a lot of amorous activity in hayfields. Let's just say that. Oh, my gosh. Oh. And let me just...
The same tractor driver looking for his bottle. It could have been the same guy. He dropped his bottle
drinking,
and his porn magazine.
A lot of pornos. Oh, my gosh. These are all so funny. So if you want to see them, go on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page and just scroll through them because there's just too many to mention. But I do want to say that the reason we came up with this, Glenn, was because I had foxtail in my hay, which is a very dangerous weed. And after reading all of this, I'm going to call my hay supplier and just thank him. Thank you for only having foxtail in my hay. I haven't found a single newborn fawn. I haven't found any of tractor parts. Somebody else said that they found the gear shift of a car was like in there. They said the hay bale was really heavy and there was a gear shift in there. So I don't know what's going on in hay fields, but I mean, thank you for the toxic. Yeah. Oh, terrible.
Very funny. Hey, you know, it's funny. You and I found the same article, and with Valentine's Day coming up, I thought we'd talk about this a little bit before we get to your emails. And because,
I want to actually analyze you and Jennifer's relationship with this. I think it's important.
Yeah, we have been married almost 30 years.
You've been married 30 years. You've got a recipe for success. And according to this article, this is 7 things happy couples do every day. Okay? I'm coming up at the end of this month, I'll have met Chad 7 years ago, okay? And I got a report that we do every one of these things. But we've only been married like 5 years. So we still do that. So I wanted to know if this is a tried and true article, Glenn, and I want honest opinions from you and Jennifer on do you do the 7 things that happy couples do every day? Are you ready to take the quiz?
I am ready. I am ready.
Jennifer?
I'm ready.
This is not one-sided. This is the two of you. Okay. Now, this is interesting because Glenn's really picky and Jennifer doesn't cook. So the first thing the first thing that happy couples do every day is eat together, whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert, or all of them. They take time out of their schedules to sit down together and eat. Do you eat together?
Yes,
at least
we
once a day.
Lunch together every day, and then I cook. I cook almost every night, so we eat dinner together every night. So lunch and dinner every day.
Excellent. Yep. Number two, this is
you
a definite.
I think, I don't know about Jennifer. I don't think she had this as much as I did, but when we were growing up, and I think families have gotten away from this, and I think it's bad that they have, I think it's sad that they have, is that my mom and dad were sticklers, even with sports or everything that we did. We, as a family, and I had three brothers, so there were six of us, we ate dinner together every night. And even if it was sports season, we were all playing sports, they just moved dinner back in time. But we ate dinner together every night, and that was part of their rule. And when we started having boyfriends and girlfriends, we still ate dinner together every night, and they were allowed to come over. So there might have been 10 of us or 15 of us around the table. But that was one of my mom's things. And I think that's kind of sad that that's probably going away for a lot of families.
You didn't do that. We never.
Yeah.
I mean, my brothers and I would eat when together when we were little, but by the time I was like 12, 13 years old, it was like grab what you could. And my mom would make something, leave it on the stove. So, yeah.
And
no,
I mean,
we didn't.
Sunday dinner was the big dinner, and mom used to go all out for Sunday dinner, and we all went over for Sunday dinner. You know, even after we were married and away, we'd all gather for Sunday dinner.
My mom, yeah. I think, would. My dad would take us to, this is really terrible, but like our family dinner to give my mom a break every Thursday night was Domino's Pizza. And like every Sunday we'd go to Po' Folks. Do you know what Po' Folks is?
No.
It is awful. Go to Po' Folks. It was the worst redneck white trash restaurant ever. And my dad took us there every Sunday. I mean, just so you could misspell things on the menu on purpose. And it wasn't poor folks. It was Po' Folks. And they had like things like, anyway, it's pointless. Just Google it if you're interested in learning what a South Georgia restaurant is. Anyway, they check in. It doesn't have to be every 5 seconds, but happy couples check in at least once a day. A little, hey, how's it going? I miss you. Thinking of you message sent in the midst of a hectic work day. You guys live together and work together and both work from home. So I'm assuming
the
check-in thing is a punch in the face at this point.
Yeah. We check out, actually. We check out because every once in a while we have to get apart from each other. So I would say we would change number two in our case to check out. We check out once a day.
Good point. They laugh. Number three is happy couples laugh. It may seem obvious, but real laughter is less common. Usually a laughter could be like, you know, they're not talking about laughing at your partner or in spite of your partner. It needs to laughing at their expense. It needs to be like having a true laugh with your partner.
Well, Jennifer, you answer that when you tell. What do you tell me all the time?
Glenn cracks me up on a daily basis because he comes out with the most random, bizarre, strange. You know, when you've been surfing around the web and on websites that you probably shouldn't have, and you don't see it as much as you used to, and you get one of those viruses, and then the next time you turn your computer on, some bizarre picture pops up in the middle of the screen and scares you to death.
Well,
he comes
oriental
up with,
porn.
With those kinds of things and just cracks me up on a daily basis.
Oh, that's great. Good. Well, yeah. Glenn, you have to laugh at Jennifer, too. So it's
not reciprocal. No. He's the funny one.
I tell Chad all the time, I'm like, you're so funny, but your brother is way funnier than you. I don't know why. But we laugh all the time, too. They listen. No, true. His brother is so funny.
I'm sure he's really happy to hear that, too.
he actually, like, the first time I said it, he was like, now he's like, yeah, I know. His brother's really funny.
Yeah, but Chad has other redeeming qualities.
Oh gosh, no, we laugh about that. We just make jokes. Seven things happy couple do. Number four is they listen. No matter how tired, stressed, or busy, happy couples listen to each other.
Well, I'll let Jennifer answer that one.
So we need to work on that one, is what you're saying, Glenn?
No, listening.
We have a system. We have a system for listening because you got to remember we're with each other pretty much 24/7. So The person doing the speaking that needs to be listened to is required to knock first and make sure the recipient is paying attention. Because if you're not paying attention and the talker didn't knock, you cannot be held responsible for not listening.
That is true. We actually knock.
That's like the official. Yeah. When the knock happens, are you like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble? Uh-oh.
I think it's partly because I'm so annoying and I have so much ADD that she's now required me to knock because she knows I'll annoy her less because I don't feel like knocking. Yeah. So
he'll blabber endlessly, Jamie. Endlessly.
Okay, this is not a therapy session. This is just a list to you guys. Okay, I don't want you to expand on this because, like I said, this is not a therapy session. But number five, things happy couples do is they touch each other. It doesn't have to be like, you know, booty. It's just like, you know, holding hands, kissing each other's foreheads, as long as there's a physical exchange of love. Number
six, we do that all the time. Yep.
Oh, good, good. The number six is they say goodnight. Even after a big fight or 100 miles away, you got to say goodnight.
Yep. We do that. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Number seven, the last thing so far, this 30-year marriage of yours is following the rules because the last thing is they root for each other. Either it's wishing good luck at a job interview or supporting the decision to not get out of bed all day. Happy couples back each other up 100% of the time. Your partner is meant to be your number one fan and your support system. So do you guys root for each other?
I think that goes along with just being your best friend, right? I mean, that's what that's saying. And that's certainly the case for me anyway. Jennifer's my best friend. You know, that's just, I think that's what that says, right? And that's what you do for your best friend, right?
I'm in the mood for Valentine's Day now. I'm inspired.
There you go. There you go. Well, that's that was from lifeadvancer.com blog that we came across. It's funny that you and I came across that at the same time.
I know. It's amazing. Chad and I went through them last night. We were talking about them. But, again, you guys have been married and kind of in the regular pattern of life, I guess, a lot longer. And it's nice to know you still do it. That's why they last 30 years, people. We're going to talk. I got some listener emails, and I've got a question that was posed to me, Jennifer, that I can't answer.
Uh-oh.
And it's about eventing.
Uh-oh.
So I need your professional help. I have not asked Jennifer this question ahead of time, and it's not a test. If you don't know, then I've actually sent an email to the Bit of Britain to ask this question as well. So if you don't know, we'll get a response through that way. But anyway, we'll get to that in just a second. But Glenn, we have a new sponsor.
Why don't you do what emails? I'm trying to locate the sponsor. Do one of your emails.
Oh, you want to just jump right in. Okay, here's the listener question, Jennifer. The listener question that I couldn't answer. And it's kind of technical, and I'll explain it if you don't know what it is after I read the answer, the email. Jamie, I ask my farrier to drill and tap my horse's shoes, and he asked me if every stud required the same size hole, or are some studs bigger than others or smaller than others? I wasn't sure, Donna. Now, drilling and tapping is basically when the farrier drills holes into your horse's shoes, not when they're wearing them, and then you screw in these cleat-like things for cross-country or show jumping, riding on the grass, anything like that. So the cleats basically go into these holes that the farrier drills, and the farrier asks, are all the holes the same size? So, Jennifer, do you know? I Googled it. I couldn't figure it out.
It's really tough to Google because anytime you put the word stud in Google, you get some strange results.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it.
It's a bad thing. And you erase your history when you do that.
Drill and
in the
stud
United,
the same thing? Mm-mm, don't
yeah,
do it.
In the United States, at least, if it is a stud that has that's a screw-in stud, it's going to be all the same diameter in the United States. In Europe,
okay.
I couldn't tell you.
Because when I was looking up studs on Bit of Britain, it says the stud is 7/18 wide and 9/16 deep. And I'm like, what's
that's
wide?
Yeah, but that would be the That would be the stud itself, not the threads. Right.
Okay. So the threads are all the same, and do we know what size that is? Because I don't.
Is it quarter inch, Jennifer?
I don't know.
I remember quarter inch, but it's about.
But it's
that.
Not just the diameter; it's the size of the actual threads, which is a
thread
number.
Yeah.
At 8,
that
a 10,
a
12.
Too.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to tell her farrier how to drill and tap. I just have always gone drill and tap this, and my farriers go, okay. So
standard, though. All studs should fit in all stud holes here in the United States. They're standard no matter where you buy them.
That sucks.
Yeah.
You get one, it's like, it's the wrong size.
Right. Yeah, so that should be standard.
Okay, so we'll get to a couple other listener emails in just a second, but we have a new sponsor.
Yeah, we're excited that we have a new sponsor. The new sponsor is Bimeda, and, of course, they make deworming medicine, and that's the same dewormers that Jamie has just used about 50 of on her horses, trying to help with this mouth issue before she knew exactly what was going on there. And we just dewormed our horses as well. And we used the one, Jennifer, you remember which one we used? We used the one that, I'm trying to remember the name of it. Jennifer can
Equimax,
help us with that.
I believe it was.
Equimax, yeah. We used the Equimax because we also wanted the heartworm in there. So I had a chance, they have a veterinarian on staff, super, super nice guy at Bimeda, who is going to be coming on with us once a month at the beginning of the month. We'll do it on a Wednesday. And he's going to be talking about deworming and some of the myths and some of the things that...
I meant tapeworms.
I got that. Yeah.
Jennifer, I knew he meant tapeworms, not heartworms. I was like, horses
I was
get heartworms?
Dogs.
And I'm like, hey, never mind.
I was thinking dog. Tapeworms, thank you. But he's coming on. See, that's why we have the doctor coming on to help us with all things deworming. We haven't talked about this too much on the show, actually. So let's take a listen, and we are going to have them on a regular basis and hopefully, as I said, answer some of our questions about deworming. I know that some people are confused. His name is Dr. David Ellison, and we'll be right back with more listener emails after this. Well, Glenn here with the Horse Radio Network, and I have Dr. Ellison with us, and he is a Director of Technical Services with Bimeda Incorporated. And, well, hello, Dr. Ellison.
Good afternoon, Glenn.
Thank you so much for joining us. And first, on this first interview, this is a series of four that we're doing over the next couple of months with you guys, and I want to thank you, number one, for becoming a sponsor. We appreciate your support of the Horse Radio Network. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Welcome to the family.
Thank you.
I'm very excited about this because we haven't delved into dewormers a whole lot and the whole aspect of deworming. We haven't gotten into it a whole lot on many of the shows, so I'm looking forward to it, and I hope the knowledge that we impart here can help everybody. Of course, if we have horses, it's something that we all have to think about. And I know Jennifer and I use Bimeda as our dewormers. We just dewormed our horses this week, as a matter of fact.
Perfect.
Well, tell us a little bit about Bimeda and who they are, because there's a lot of different wormers out there. So let's find out a little bit about the company first.
Well, Bimeda is a company based in Dublin, Ireland, with marketing in approximately 80 countries. So they are worldwide. We have a very broad line of equine dewormers, which can cover basically all the needs that any horse owner would have.
So how many dewormers are there? When somebody goes into the tack shop and you look at that, especially if you don't, you know, if you haven't been around horses your whole life, you're new into horses, and you look at that rack of dewormers, it's a little, you know, it's like trying to guess what you need.
Well, it certainly can be confusing, and, you know, basically there's going to be three groups of dewormers that people are going to see on the shelf in the tack shops and the veterinary clinics that they go to, and then a fourth group that's a combination, what we call like to refer to as the big gun anti-parasiticals. The first group would be macrocyclic lactones, and that would include ivermectin and moxidectin. The second group would be the pyrimidines, which is Pyrantel. And then the third group would be the benzimidazoles, which most people would know as fenbendazole. And there's that combination group, which is the macrocyclic lactones, either ivermectin or moxidectin, along with a compound called praziquantel, which is used to control tapeworms. So that's, we end up basically with four different classes of dewormers.
Well, that leads to the next question is, and I hope we're going to cover this over the next several months in the interviews and everything, is how do you know where to start?
Well, you know, it's a great question. And really what I always tell people is your veterinarian knows better than anyone what is the best parasite control program for you. It's going to vary greatly based on where you live, the climate that you have, the number of horses that you have, how big or small your pasture is, parasite load, what program your horses have been exposed to from a dewormer standpoint previously. And so, you know, it's not overly complicated, but it's not overly simplistic either. So, you know, a good relationship with an equine veterinarian is essential in constructing a good dewormer program.
And we're going to talk in future chats that we have about fecal testing and the different types of parasites and things like that. But I thought today I really wanted to find out, kind of an overview of who you guys were. And also I wanted to talk a little bit about natural dewormers versus FDA-approved dewormers.
You know, Glenn, that's a great question, and it's a question that we get often from a technical service standpoint. You know, the FDA-approved dewormers are held to a very high standard. They have to show efficacy or the ability to do their job properly, and also they have to be safe, and that safety testing is very, very important. Contrary to that, the natural or, you know, an example would be like diatomaceous earth as an example. Dewormers really, and if you talk to the leading parasitologists across the country, they will tell you those products really just have never shown true efficacy against the major equine parasites.
Well, Dr. Ellison, we are going to continue with a series of conversations about dewormers, but if people want to find out where to go right now to learn more, they can do it at bimediaequine.com. That's B-I-M-E-D-A, equine.com. There's all kinds of great links. First of all, it talks all about the different products you have, but there's also deworming plans and information on parasites and all kinds of things on that website.
That's absolutely right, and that's a great place to get very pertinent and helpful information.
Section in there where Dr. Ellison answers questions as well, and it's called Did You Know by Dr. Dave. So you can click on that button, and you can find all kinds of questions and answers in that section. We'll talk to you again next month.
All right. Thank you, Glenn. Look forward to it.
By MitaEquine.com. Well, thank you to Bimeda for becoming a sponsor here on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate their support. Well, Jamie, I got to tell you real quick before you get into your next email that Jennifer posted the link to the seven happy things couples do every day that we just went over, and several of our listeners have also been married for 30 years, Ellen and Uta, and they say they all do those things. So we have apparently some very happily married listeners out there.
Yay!
That's good. Yeah.
Love it.
Glad to see that. So what else do you have from listeners here that we need to address?
So Betty Faye, who is the one that I bought Duke from, sent me an email,
yeah.
And she's
from Colorado.
She's super sad that Duke has some sores in his mouth, but she actually told me, hold on, puppy alert here.
This would be the new puppy that's now eating the house.
Yes, sorry.
Teething now and just eating everything in sight?
She just eats everything anyway, but she's pulling the cords out of my computer. I'm back. I lost you for a second. Okay.
We just get to the point where your child stops pulling the cords out of the computer, and now you have a puppy.
I know. It was not a great idea. So anyway, Betty sent me an email, and she's like, so sorry that you had the foxtails and the hay, but she told me a funny story. And she said, when I first moved to Colorado, I had the neighbors over for dinner. And get this, they made their living cutting and selling hay. So she went outside to make a nice floral arrangement for their table decoration. She said, for a table decoration, I found some pretty grasses that I put in a vase. You guessed it. Foxtail. So she brings foxtail in and puts it on the table, and her neighbors grow hay. She said, from the look of horror on their faces, I knew I just blew any chance of friendship with them. Actually, she said they were very forgiving and teased her unmercifully. So she also told me, and a lot of you have told me, that I need to contact my extension agent, and telling me how to contact my extension agent, which is for free. They come to your house, they look at your grass, they look at your hay. It's kind of what they do. And you're supposed to go through the university. So, you know, I got some great listener feedback. I contacted the University of Arizona. It's in Tempe. It's about an hour away, but it's the closest university. So I contacted them. And you know what the person told me? She's like, I'm sorry to hear about that. So, you know, the two people that did the horse stuff and the hay stuff retired, and we haven't hired anybody else yet. I'm like, how long ago did they retire? She's like, 4 or 5 years ago. I'm like, oh, my God.
Apparently they didn't do much because nobody's missed them in 4 or 5 years.
Nobody's
the first call.
Seriously, she was like, oh, really? You know, like, she was so surprised that somebody was calling. I'm like, well, this are government dollars at work here, or not at work. She said, you know, you can bring in some hay and maybe somebody around here will know what it is. I was like, I can Google for that. Like, I just thought I should probably have it analyzed in case, like, I need the proof for the backup. Yeah, I got nothing. I'm going to have to drive to Colorado to get it taken care of. Anyway, so that was that. And she also said that, I hope your horses heal fast and your life goes back to, and she put this in quotes, I hope your life goes back to Jamie normal very soon.
That's funny.
Normal.
We're going to have to use that from now on, Jamie normal.
Yeah, because when we were playing that commercial, I looked outside, and one of the horses had turned on the water trough, and my pasture flooded. So, Jamie normal, can I just get normal, please? God. Okay.
That's pretty good. I like Jamie normal.
The next listener, what is this listener's name, Glenn? You put it in the show notes.
No, I'll look it up while you're talking about it.
Okay. So this email was actually sent to all of us, Jennifer included, but I think it was mainly directed at me. But dear Hit'em crew, I'm looking to relocate it and have narrowed it either to the northwest or southwest. Yes, I know polar opposites. I'm writing because I don't know anyone that lives in the northwest, but I know Jamie lives in the southwest, and I'm from California. I've spent many years in both climates, so my questions are not weather concerned, but more about the industry itself. So if Jamie can give me a little insight into living in the southwest. Megan, with horses
Megan,
and all this entails, it would be appreciated. She says she rides English and Western. She rides a lot of disciplines. She's not one specific. She's not really into showing, but she's just interested, is the horse industry as sparse here as where she lives in the Midwest? Or will it be like where she was in California? So some of her questions were, average cost of hay. You know, I'm buying direct from the farmer, so I pay. It's less, and there's no tax, but it's about $12 to $13 a bale. Now, keep in mind, these are 100-pound bales, which makes stacking and unloading hay the worst day. I mean, you would want to.
And the farmer just lost $80,000 because he has a whole load of foxtail hay, so her price has just doubled for Jamie.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So that's that. She says, how does the lack of water affect the cost of living with horses? I do know that in certain places, it's a good question. Fortunately, I would say if you're going to live in a horse world, come over here. Come live in my neighborhood, because we're one of the very few irrigated properties. And it takes me, say, 4 to 5 hours of irrigating to water my whole entire property, 3 acres, okay? And we have grass for most of it. And we're one of the very few in Arizona that Phoenix that has grass. But do you know how much it cost me to do that?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. How much does it cost?
$4 an hour.
That's all?
So to do the entire property, I'll spend $20 to $24. Yeah, it's insane. It's so cheap. Nah, I do it like in the summer every 2 weeks, and in the winter like once a month.
Oh, well, so it's
really cheap.
That's cheaper than I thought it would be.
Yeah, but the watering your lawn and stuff and just water is a little bit more expensive, just depending on what neighborhood you live in and what company you are with. I'm getting too detailed. Is the horse industry small, medium, or large, or average? I'd say it's pretty big here. If you are not English specific, the English riders and jumpers, there are, you know, you can go to Scottsdale, but then you're going to pay a ton of money. So living out here in the West, it's very horse friendly. And actually the entire city of Phoenix, you can basically have horses anywhere. People have them in their like tiny little backyards. It's crazy. What do I love about living in the Southwest? Oh my gosh, 9 months of year, it's amazing. I feel it's so beautiful here. It's incredible. But what do I hate about it? Come on, the heat.
Those
other 3 months, you'll want to die. But get a house with a pool. is there a large animal or equine vet shortage? There's a vet clinic like 15 minutes from here. And there's vet hospitals. They don't do colic surgeries, but there's several vet hospitals, several. So there's one seemingly all over the city. And I think you should do it. I love it here. I would live here for the rest of my life if my husband didn't want to retire after his military career and move to Oklahoma. I would live here forever. I love it. So if you have any more questions, just send me an individual email, jamie@horseradionetwork.com, and we can talk about it. But I love it. I do. I love it here. She said, would you recommend boarding? I did have a hard time finding great places to board in the West Valley, but I don't live in the very, you know, upscale world of near Scottsdale or Cave Creek. So call me if you have any questions. There you go. That was my other listener email.
Very good. Thank you, Jamie. We're going to take a break for our song right now, and we're going to come back with Victoria from horseandcountry.tv with the European Report. And then we have really bad ads for you. And the reason for that is, in case you're wondering, is Friday we're going to be headed, actually tomorrow, after the Road to the Horse episode, Jennifer and I are heading to Wellington. Reese Coppler Sandfield and Philip Parks from the Dressage Radio Show are going to be there. Emily from our jumping episode is going to be there. Now I hear that Wendy doesn't want to feel left out, so she might come across the state to join us down there. And we're going to be coming to you live from ringside at the World Equestrian Festival at WEF on Friday morning. Emily's lining up a bunch of guests, and we're going to actually have the show going on right in front of us as we're talking to you. So that should be a lot of fun. We're also seeing, apparently, according to Reese, we Thursday night are going to a charity fundraiser where all the riders come in and ride a mechanical bull for charity. So apparently we're seeing that Thursday night. And then Friday night, and then Friday night, it's called something funny, and I can't remember. Oh, it's the something or other buck off. And then Friday night is the first five-star dressage competition of the year down there. So we're going to go watch the true Grand Prix guys go at it. That's on Friday night. So we're just looking forward to the whole weekend, but we will be coming to you live from there on Horses in the Morning on Friday morning. Let's hear from one of our auditors and then a song called I'm Gonna Fly.
Hi, Fiona Crawford here, and I'm an official Horse Radio Network auditor. I'm a horse photographer based in the UK, and when I'm editing my images, I listen to a vast selection of great programs provided by the Horse Radio Network. Both informative and really entertaining, I think it's worth a few dollars or pounds of anyone's money. Just go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the banner. And for as little as a dollar a month, you too could become an official Horse Radio Network auditor.
Time was right. driving through life with one foot on the brake. Missed every chance that I did not take. Now I'm gonna do whatever I please. No, nothing. Gonna have a hold on.
Welcome back to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek and here with Jamie Jennings today. And, of course, Coach Jen is in the producer chair. That particular song was done by Casey Smith. You can find all of her music at kceysmith.com, K-A-C-E-Y, smith.com. We have Victoria going to be coming up here shortly, and we're going to be talking the European report. But before we get to that, we had one... let's see here. I had one thing I wanted to mention, and I totally have slipped my mind what it is. It's gone.
I was just reading the article. I know, it sucks getting old. I was just reading the article that you posted here about Eddie Redmayne nearly died on a horse. And Eddie Redmayne, for those who the name may sound familiar or whatever, he is the guy in The Theory of Everything. He played Stephen Hawking. He also was in the movie Les Mis, the musical version, which Glenn probably never saw that I was pregnant and drugged my husband to. And so he played
Mario.
Proud
to say.
Yeah, he played Mario. So anyway, so I guess apparently when he was trying out for that TV miniseries, Elizabeth the First, they, as he was walking out the door, they're like, "Hey, Redmayne, you ever been on a horse?" Yeah, and he's like, "Oh yeah." He's like, "Yeah, I'm a." I gave them the impression, he said, that he was a bit of a horse aficionado. He's like, "Cut to 3 weeks later, we're in Lithuania. They have built a huge Elizabethan street. I'm on a gigantic stallion. There's 40 Lithuanian studmen on horses behind me. Helen Mirren is at the end of the street, dressed in this gown. They put spurs on my feet, and I'm wondering at what point do I admit I've never been on a horse in my life? He said that they said action, and the horse took off. He said he went down the street at 100 miles an hour, almost killed Helen Mirren, almost killed himself, killed half the crew. And I guess the director, Tom Hooper, was standing behind Helen Mirren and goes, "You're an effing liar, Redmayne." He was saying that he was actually sent to horse camp after that.
Wonder what horse camp looks like for actors.
I know, right? I just think that's so funny. It's like Joey Tribbiani and Friends, and they're like, "Oh, by the way, you're going to be naked, and we need somebody who's not, you know." And he's like, "Yeah, that's me." And he used Silly Putty to make his wiener look right. It's like, I wonder all the things that actors lie about to get a part, you know? Sorry, that's the one thing that popped into my head, but it was.
I'm sure there's a ton of stuff that actors lie about to get a part. I'm sure there's a ton of stuff. That just happens all the time.
It seems
but
like
you're not,
horses.
You don't usually lie about the stuff that's going to kill you, right? I mean, that's the things
that's
you don't want to lie about.
That's true. Yeehaw!
Or things that are easily flushed out, like, "Oh, I'm an excellent singer." Because the first time you open your mouth, that's the director's going to know, right? I mean, you can't lie about certain things.
That's never been a problem for me. All the acting parts I've had, they asked me if I was a good singer. I was like, clearly, I'm amazing. And they heard me sing, I was like an angel.
Yeah. Well,
so
now
funny.
We found a list a while back, and you talked about this yesterday. We never did go over the list, but you talked about it yesterday. We have a few minutes here before Victoria, we hope, shows up today. That's the five types of horse people you'll find on Facebook. You want
to? Well, I'll let you go through the list, but I'll just give you the update on what happened yesterday. I've talked too much today. It's your turn.
All right.
A couple of days ago, somebody posted this beautiful, warm blood, gelding, trained, needs to go right now, and has the next 72 hours, needs a home or else. And like a million people commented, and this isn't an eventer in the area. A million people commented, and she never wrote any updates. And it's like, hello. There's a billion people that want to know what happened to this beautiful warm blood that needs a home or else, and here you are not. Like, I hate people like that on Facebook. And just so you know, since this happened, I unfriended her. I'm sure she's cut deep. She's a famous adventurer.
I was going to say, I could hear her weeping from here.
Yeah, I'm sure she's devastated. Anyway, so Glenn found a list of the five types of horse people you'll find on Facebook. And maybe this is from
Yeah, this is horsechannel.com did this list. The overachiever, between the photos of their weekly rides at 5:30 a.m. and the High Point Award trophies and the maps of their rides and just everything that they do, because they are the ultimate in horse people. And we all have those friends that do that on their Facebook page. I try and only do, you know, every once in a while I'll post a photo of me driving my pony because it's a beautiful day or whatever. But I try not to do it every single time because I kind of, I just don't want to be one of those annoying people, you know?
Yeah, I'm in the phase of just posting baby pictures, so people are horse-free of me right now. But I love the fact that just after
not
what happened...
Not baby-free, but horse-free.
Yeah, you're horse-free right now. But it says, we just want proof that you're mortal, because I guess they're such an overachiever. Please post a picture or a status about how you forgot to turn off the hose in the trough all night or something... Something that we can grab onto. I love
normal,
that.
Normal, right? Not like super horse person. Number two is the
taking a 10-mile ride in the rain and stuck it up.
The two is, I don't even know how to say this word, the vague booker? The vague booker?
Like Facebooker, but the vague booker.
The vague booker. Okay, sometimes being a horse owner is hard. Tell me more. But the vague booker never does. This is your person. Even when her friends ask for details, there's never any follow-up. We all have those, and I have a couple friends like that. We'll post these cryptic things that make it sound like they're going to die in the next 10 minutes, and they never say what's going on or why they're going to die in the next 10 minutes. And then they never post in 20 minutes and tell us they lived. You know, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feelings bad, things aren't going well. And then it's like, what are you talking about? Everything okay? It's a vague buffer.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. The trainer, it costs hundreds of dollars or more each month to keep a horse in full training. But why spend that kind of money when there's probably someone who will tell you exactly what to do with their unsolicited advice on Facebook? And we all know those people, too. And it doesn't matter what the topic is. It doesn't have to be horses. It can be life. And, boy, I bet you, Janie, when you first have a child, these people come out of the woodwork.
Oh, you don't even have to have a child. You just have to be pregnant, and then it starts coming. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, and, you know, honestly, I appreciated most of it.
Advice.
Back then, I appreciated it. Now I'm like, oh, just shut up. Leave me alone. But no, I mean, I think it's over now. I can't send it back. So what I've done in the past is going to stick. But yeah, I love it. Like you post a picture in the horse world, you post a picture of your horse, you know, wearing a blanket. And it's like, oh, you shouldn't wear blankets because it's not natural. And these trainers that get on there and tell you how to do your horses, that's kind of frustrating.
That's true. The next one is the shutterbug. We all know these, the amateur photographer that posts plenty of photos of their horse for the world to see. And and let's throw in there selfies. We all know the selfie people, too. There are the selfie people who like to post lots of photos of themselves. Now, Jennifer and I do take selfies, but I tend not to post a lot of them because I just don't think everybody wants to see your selfies. I just... You know, every
it's
once
so
in a while,
close.
I think a selfie is a good thing, but boy,
it's
you can't
so
be one of those.
Up your nose. Yeah, it's just up your nose all the time. And people that post selfies when they're not actually doing anything, they just snap a picture of their face and post it. That's the worst. But this one, I like it. I like it because they talked about the endless between the ear shots. I love those. I will look at those all day.
Too. Don't ever stop those. Don't ever stop those. And I actually have an idea I have to talk to you about. We'll have to get it started here. Remember how we did the Hit 'em Happy thing for 100 days and everybody was doing that and that was so much fun? I have another idea, too, maybe we'll start next week. I'll talk to you about that. The fifth one is the political activist. Oh, and, you know, this is talking about, you know, the people who are on tirades about what you just said, about not wearing blankets or about not wearing shoes or, you know, in the horse world, it's those things. But then we all know this political activist about truly things political, you know, the Republican or the Democrat. And pretty much, you know, the vegan out there. We have had a rule that we never, you don't post much about it being a vegan, though. I got to give you credit for that. Just these people don't understand that no matter what you post, you're not going to change anybody's mind. It just ain't going to happen. You know, you're not going to. And I want to post a lot of political stuff. I never have because that's one of our rules. But, you know, I do want to post it every once in a while. And we all do. But I hold back because I'm not going to change anybody's mind. All I'm going to do is piss off half the people. And that's all you're going to accomplish with that is just pissing off half the people. So. It's true. That's all you're going to accomplish. Well, I don't see Victoria. Maybe she got tied up or had a problem over there at Horse and Country TV. I know she's in charge of the website, too, so maybe they had issues with that. Do you want to just go into really bad ads? What do you want to do?
Let's do it.
All right. So we're going to do really bad ads. It's not Friday, but we have other things going on here on Friday down in Wellington. So we didn't want to miss a really bad ads day because it's brought to you by our good friends and sponsor, EquityMFG.com.
I say pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. We are brought to you by EquityMFG.com, the home of everybody's favorite manure forks. You know, I was at the show at Ada this last weekend, and there are a couple people out there, a couple companies who have other manure forks. And I got to tell you, I was playing with them, and I took the tines on the one. And this one sells for probably about the same price as the Equity Flexin Fork, which is in the $60, $70 range. And this one sells for that. I could have broke this tine. I could have taken this tine with very little pressure and broken the tine right off. And I was going,
really?
Yeah. You know, and I'll tell you which one it is. I don't know the name of it, but it's the one that has the replaceable tines. You know which one I mean? Where you can actually pop the tines off and replace them. So my question about that is, why have a manure fork that you know you're going to break the tines on when you could have one that the tines just don't break?
Yeah, I know. And I was actually looking at that, and it's like, you know, your tines are covered in crap. And those things, you have to you have to unhook it and like slide all the tines off and then get to the one and slide all the tines back on. Who wants to put their face that close to like really nasty poop forks?
No.
I don't.
I know.
That just doesn't make any sense to me to do that. Just buy one that doesn't break.
Yeah, that's the solution is just go to equitymfg.com. They have the Flexin Fork and the Shaken Fork. You just buy either one. They all come with the same tines, and they just don't break. We have somebody, Aubrey, who is a professional stall cleaner that listens to our show. She sent us a picture a while back, and she got these. She got the Flexin Fork, and I think she got a Shaken Fork too. And she posted a picture because she had to buy a new basket. You remember this? Because the basket... The tines had worn back so far from being used every day, cleaning 30 stalls for a year, that she actually wore them out. She didn't break them. She whittled them away.
It's amazing.
I mean, any other fork that you buy at any one of those cheap fork stores would have broken 12 times by then. And hers had whittled away to the point where she legitimately had to buy a new basket because she had used it so hard. That's what you want to do. Don't go out and buy one of these gimmicky forks that you can replace the tines because they're making them so that they can break, so you have to buy more tines. Makes no sense to me whatsoever. So if you clean less than 3 stalls a day, get the Flexin Fork. If you clean more than 3, grab the Shaken Fork. You will love it, and you will never use anything else. Well, let's have Jennifer, if she's there, tell us what the prize is today.
Today's prize on our little weekly prize is going to be two pairs of socks, his and hers, from Noble Equine. The lightweight performance sock with heel-to-toe padded protection and arch compression band to avoid shifting. There's nothing worse than getting your socks in a knot. Their perfect fit top stays in place all day long. Now, these are not your super thin see-through types of boot socks. These are substantial. So if you've got boots that fit tighter than a glove, they're not going to work so well for you. But for folks who ride in half chaps, they are perfect.
Very good, and I have them right here on my desk, Ashley. They're his and her pair. We're going to ship them out to the winner today, and don't forget that everybody that submits an ad gets entered every month to win a Flexin Fork from Equity. We do the drawing at the end of the month. They just did one on Friday when I wasn't here, and Haley from Utah won, and thank you so much for listening, Haley, and submitting ads. We appreciate it, and Jennifer said she was very excited about winning her Flexin Fork, and at of the year, we're... Yeah, she was very excited about it. And at the end of the year, we're taking all the names of everybody that submitted ads, not just the winners, but everybody that submitted ads. We're putting them in a pot, and you have a chance to win a Shaken Fork worth up to $250. So that's at the end of the year. All right, let's get started. Brooke sent this one in. I wonder if this was the same Brooke that we had earlier. She sent this one in, and it's a horse saddle. It's in Fort. Yes, I don't know where Fort is, but it's in Fort. I have what I was told is an English horse saddle. I don't know much about saddles. I had it gave to me for some money that I was owed. The only thing I know is that it has the number 146 written on it. It comes with pads and also has the belt. It's in what seems to be great shape. Just make me an offer on it. So there you go. It's a size 146. Now, that's a big butt, size 146. That's a big butt. But it comes with a belt.
That's hilarious.
That's good to
It's got the belt. And we all know exactly what type of saddle this is. It's that no-name brand English saddle that was like the leather. Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible saddle. You won't want it.
Do you think that this, by the way, the first thing I thought of when I read this, do you think this was a drug deal that went bad and they couldn't pay and they had to trade the saddle? That's my thought.
Probably. Probably. She probably didn't want the horse. Beth sent this one in. All capital letters, horse for trade. And, you know, these trades, they just, it just amazes me how much people want to trade random stuff. Okay. And how many things there are to trade and the new things we get submitted every week. Horse for trade. I have a beautiful mare. He is good with other horses and loves attention. We just never ride her. He is broke, but we don't ride her. So don't ask. So let me get this straight. I have a beautiful mare. He is good with other horses and loves attention. We just don't ride her. He is broke, but we don't ride her. So don't ask. Gender confused. Will sell or trade for a Labrador retriever, a good squirrel or coon dog, or something else for hunting?
Who's going to trade their dog for a horse?
Oh, my gosh. You know, all right, Danny.
I didn't want that damn dog anyway.
I'm getting a horse. You got to give away my family friend to get a horse that's unbroke. The gender confused. All
no, time. She's broke. They just don't ride her, Jamie. Don't get that wrong.
Yeah.
She's broke.
He's broke, yeah. But they don't ride her. Okay?
Yeah.
Keep it in mind.
The next one, thank you, Beth, for sending that, and we appreciate it. Uta sent the following one in, and it's wanted. Oh, how come I always get the poop ones? Wanted poop. Recently bought this house in Skipperville. Oh, okay, the name, Skipperville. Do you know where Skipperville is? Take a guess, Jamie. All the 50 states in the United States, take a guess which state has Skipperville.
I would say, Uta's from Ohio, but the way you're saying it, it must be Florida.
Nope, Alabama, Skipperville, Alabama. Recently bought this house in Skipperville, Alabama. We need some horse, cow, or goat poop to help improve my soil. Yeah?
You have to read all the dots and all the commas.
Oh, okay. All right, sorry. Recently bought this house in Skipperville, .. We need some horse, cow, goat, etc. poop to help improve my soil for the garden, .. I can trade fresh, organic, free-range eggs or some baby chicks, .. I could trade some veggies after they grow, .. I can't go... Glad she's not trading them before they grow. I can't go far from Skipperville because my old Dodge truck is a piece of crap. .. And we will be riding an experienced tag. At all. And we will be riding an expired tag. Thanks and God bless. So they got an old Dodge truck that doesn't have a current tag. Is this Alabama or what?
Oh, my gosh. I'll trade you some eggs for your poop, or you can have some vegetables after your poop helps grow them. So
grow
it'll
them.
Be in a year. Oh, gosh. That's awesome. And I'd love to
deliver
that,
your poop.
Yeah, deliver it because my old Dodge truck is a piece of crap and we have expired tags. And I love the fact that we'll be riding an expired tag. And they meant to hit .. but they hit the button right next to it and went ////, ////, ////. Why don't people pre-read this? At least they can do like, yeah, I meant to do dots, not slashes.
And I don't know any situation where you need to put three commas in a row.
No.
I don't know any situation
no.
like
that. There's no grammatical reason to put three commas in a row. I love the next one. It's short, it's sweet, and the title is 20 Thoroughbred Piglets. 20 Thoroughbred Piglets. Now, I don't know if a thoroughbred is a breed of pig. I'm not familiar. But what I did find funny is that this poor sow is laying down being milked to death by 10 thoroughbred piglets. Like, what happened to the other 10? Why are there only – you said there's 20, And there's only 10 in the picture.
Well, you know, there's only so many faucets, Jamie. There's really only so many faucets.
God. Poor mama. They're so
cute,
though.
I looked up thoroughbred piglets, and I got Noah's Thoroughbred Racing Pigs on Facebook. Apparently, yes, Noah's Thoroughbred Racing Pigs, and these are in Warwick, Queensland. That has to be Australia, right? So there you go. You can go watch Noah's Thoroughbred Racing Pigs in Australia. They have all the good stuff down there.
$2 across the board on number 4. I think that pig's got it. Angel.
You think when they come in and they don't, your pig doesn't win, you just go, what an oinker. You know?
That thing needs to be oinker. Bacon. Angel said in the next one, oh, my God. How have we never seen one of these before? This is amazing. This is a horse trailer. And Jennifer's going to post it on Facebook right now. The ad is horse trailer, $500. And what a steal for back in the day. Horse trailer, 1974, Circle J. Six horses, has tack room, fifth wheel hitch. When we used the lights and everything, it worked. But it's been sitting a long time. Yeah, since 1974. At least
exactly.
They mowed around it. But oh, my God.
For the picture, probably.
Exactly. This is a super huge trailer. Like, huge. Really
it's
long.
It's
got to
be 55
with
feet long.
Yeah. And it is a really huge bucket of rust. I mean,
you know,
it is a bucket of rust.
They didn't have stainless steel back then, so this is a metal trailer. And it's at least 55 feet long. It has to weigh 50,000 pounds.
And by the way, it's not a fifth wheel hitch. It's a gooseneck. People are always confused. And by the way, did you notice that it's parked on the road? Like, this is what you see when you drive by these people's houses.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Put this old bucket of rust at $500. You literally could scrap it for more than that because there is probably 10,000 pounds of steel.
It really is huge. And the tires are either flat or they've sunken into the ground so long it's been sitting there. But you can only see the top half of the tires.
Okay, large bucket of rust, tires sunk into the ground. Can you imagine what the inside of that dressing room looks like?
Smells like, ugh.
And the mouth, the rats that are in there. Oh, my good God. That's a really bad trailer ad. And, Angel, I don't know how you found it, but God bless you for finding it. We're going to post this online. Oh, my God. There's literally, they could make money at the steel company trading this thing in. Make more than $500.
That is huge. All right. Rachel sent in the following one. I just talked to her sister last night, actually. Her sister, Rachel's sister, was on... Rachel Knopf's sister was on the Dressage Radio show this week, so that'll be coming out later today. Rachel sent this in. It's Mattel Horse Race Analyzer. Now, this is not necessarily a bad ad. It's an amazing technology ad of something that actually does exist, and there's a picture of it. This thing does exist, and I found the picture. I got to tell you this. I found the picture, Jamie, at some place that I didn't know existed, and that's the handheld museum. There's a museum for handheld stuff, for technology that you hold in your hand. That's right. It's a museum for technology that you hold in your hand. So anyway, this is a rare 1979.
Did you find the handheld museum at Radio Shack? Is that where it is? Tie it all together here. You get these at Radio Shack. Okay, this thing is.
You probably could have bought this in 1979 at Radio Shack. You're absolutely right. It's a rare 1979 Mattel horse race analyzer, and it looks like a calculator with a oval screen, like it would be the shape of a horse race. It's unique in its design and proven to work on thoroughbred horse races. It does not work on harness or pacing races. It does not work on two-year-old races. And it does not work on maiden specials. It did once, and it was crap. It states it's for fun, yet it does work as long as you're a diehard racing fan. This analyzer takes the past season's racing record from each horse entered into the race you choose. Then once you input all the record information, by the way, did you get that? You have to input all that information on each horse for each race.
Oh, my gosh.
And it will generate the expected results. The Thoroughbred Horse Racing Analyzer would be perfect addition to any horse racing fanatic. If you're interested in purchasing this item or have any questions, you can reach us by email. Yes, it's a real thing. Can you imagine sitting and typing in with these little keyboards all the racing results? Oh, my God, how things were different.
We got to post this online because, seriously, you know what you can do now with the Horse Race Analyzer is you can look up at the board and see which one's the favorite. Like, they'll tell you that.
And you know what? There are about 5,000 apps that do this now on your phone. Isn't it amazing how far we've come?
Oh my gosh, this thing is like classic. And Glenn, just in case you're thinking about, because it said it would be the perfect addition for any horse racing fanatic, I am a horse racing fan and do not want this. So you can just leave it off my Christmas list.
Well, you ordered it for Valentine's Day. It was your Valentine's gift.
Darn,
you don't want it?
Never mind. I'd love it. That'd be great. Anybody want to buy it? We'll post this online because it is crazy. I never have ever heard of something like that. And I cannot imagine sitting looking at a program and typing in on this tiny little keypad every word that's towards blah, blah, blah. You know how long those things are? My God.
I'm like, it's only 20 minutes to see the races.
I know. I'm like, it doesn't like, ooh, you can't wave the wand over it and suck in the information. Nope. There's no internet on this thing. My God. That's so funny.
Nope.
Edna sent in this one. And this, whenever you're typing and you add letters, it always makes it very funny. Ponky for sale. P-O-N-K-Y. Ponky for sale. $350 in Topeka. Topeka, Kansas has Ponkies. 13.2 hand Ponky for sale. A gentle friend to anybody with a large field. What does that mean? You turn it out and leave it alone, it'll leave you alone. Can be kept in a barn or wherever you may have yard space. Sheds are fine too. So very adaptable. I would very much like $400 for him, but surely I'd take $350 or whatever you can offer. Maybe trade for working ride on lawnmower or some half decent laying hens.
They're Ponky for some laying hens?
Ponky for hens. Good home, a must for this blessed boy. It's not a good home if you don't care if somebody even puts them in their shed. Like, literally, he'll go wherever you have space for him. So, good home is a must, though. Yeah, you don't care. You're just writing that down. You know, get this damn pony off my property is what you're really saying.
I looked up Ponky, and it's actually in the Urban Dictionary. And, it's one of the very few things in the Urban Dictionary I can tell you what it means.
I was going to say, you probably can't read it.
No, I can actually tell you this one. It means peculiar, weird, or funny. That's what Ponky means. Yeah, there you go.
It's a Ponky Pony. Ponky Pony.
It's a Ponky Pony. That was a good one. Thank you for that, Edna. We appreciate that. Jody sent the following one in. It's short and sweet, too. It's a picture. There's a picture in this one. Short and sweet. Horse Thing, $30. Look at pick. If interested, text or call. So, in other words, the person who posted this had no idea what it was. And what it is a bit. They have a bit sitting on the carpet on the floor, and they took a picture of the bit, and they put the picture of the bit up and said, Horse Thing, $30. Look at pic.
It's a Western horse bit, basically. Yes. It's like with shanks and the chain and the copper roller and everything. They should contact us to see. Horse Thing, $30. You don't even know what it is. You don't know if it's worth $30.
Well, at least they knew it was for horses. I mean, you've got to give them credit for that.
True. Chelsea sent in the last one, and it's funny. Heifer for Sale, and $200 in Gakin, Georgia. There is no Gakin, Georgia. It's Macon. You didn't even spell where you live right, nor did you spell sale, and the letter four is the four.
I don't think heifer's spelled right either.
No, you're right. Heifer's So far, everything in this title is spelled wrong except for 200, and it's just numbers.
It's a heifer. It's a heifer.
I have one old heifer for Saleh. He is large and in charge.
Wait a minute. Isn't a heifer a female?
Yes, a heifer is a female.
Okay.
I'm just going to keep going because this is a hard one to read. I have one old heifer for Saleh. He is large and in charge with a red and a spot of white above his nozzle. And there's no punctuation, by the way, just so you know, it's all one sentence. He is perfect for someone looking for meat or companionship. Pretty sure he's Angus and easy to feed, easy to care for kind of guy, .. I brush his coat 2 times a day, but you don't have to. Just promise you'll keep him clean and you can have him. $200 just to cover hay cost and other, or I trade for his manure monthly if you're nearby. Wait a second. You got a female cow. You got a female cow that's got a white spot above his nozzle. You clearly love it if you brush him twice a day, but you're going to trade it for meat. As long as you love him and you keep him clean, you can have him. Or you can have his poop, whatever you want. Just brush him and keep him clean or eat him.
I'll show you butcher him. Yeah, so he has to be clean when you butcher him.
Oh, my gosh. Poor cow. It's like, oh, I've made the life. I'm a female. They think I'm a male. I'm not making milk. I'm not getting bread. I get brushed a couple times a day. Oh, they're going to kill me. Wow. That's a bad ad. I think she wins.
Think that was a bad ad. There were some good batch of ads today. That was a good batch of ads, everybody. I don't know who to pick.
The horse thing, the race analyzer, the bad trailer, the thoroughbred pigs, the skipper, every single one of them was awesome.
I don't know who to pick.
The trade for your dog. Oh, my gosh. They were all really good.
We haven't given the trailer a winner in a long time, have we? Because I don't remember last time we gave the trailer a winner, and that is truly an epic trailer.
That is a trailer.
Yeah, that is truly enough. What do you think? Should we give it to Angel?
Sounds good. We'll do it to Angel.
Or we go with the heifer. I mean, one or the other. What do you think?
That one. Jennifer, you pick. Trailer or heifer?
Jennifer, what do you think?
I'm sorry, the heifer cracked me up.
Okay, all right. Chelsea.
Sorry, Angel.
We'll find. Keep submitting, Angel. We'll find you something. And you're going to be in the running. Angel isn't out because she's going to be in the running. I guess it could be he. In the running for the Flex and Fork at the end of the month. So not totally out of the running.
Rachel must have thought she would win with the horse race analyzer. This was such a good batch, you guys. Y'all really showed up for this one. I love it. And anybody that trade their dog.
Chelsea Crawley is the winner of the socks, and these are from Noble Equine, the best dang boot socks. I have a men's and a women's here, and we're going to ship those out to you, Chelsea, and we hope you enjoy those. They're nice. They look like they're nice and toasty for the wintertime, so I hope Chelsea lives someplace warm. So thank you for that, everybody. Send your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We usually do these on Fridays, but this week we had to do it on Wednesday. And we want to thank Equity for continuing their sponsorship throughout the whole year of really bad ads and for giving away the forks and everything. They do amazing stuff over there, and we really appreciate Joseph and the gang for what they do. I'll be back here tomorrow morning with Tammy from Road to the Horse, and we will be talking all things Road to the Horse. By the way, only 2 months left. We have this month and next month, and at the end of next month, we're heading up to Lexington, and it is Road to the Horse time. I'm so excited that Jennifer gets to see it this year. I think she'll absolutely love it.
How come I don't
get
to go?
You didn't say you wanted to. I got you. You a horse race analyzer for Valentine's Day. What more do you want?
I'm sorry. Listen, Elias, let me just tell you something. We're taking a road trip to Vegas. You're going to Vegas this year for something. But y'all, if y'all know any horse stuff going on in Vegas that we need to go to, send me an email because I'm going
to
make Glenn go to Vegas.
To go to Vegas. Reese and Phillip are heading to Vegas for the World Cup. They're going out for the World Cup. But they're going out on their
own.
I know. That's going to be exciting because it's dressage and jumping World Cup in Vegas. And apparently it was a lot of fun last time. But
maybe
I'll
go.
You know,
yeah.
You can go see Reese and Phillip at the World Cup. I figure I'm going to be watching dressage for the entire evening Friday night. And I know it's 5-star dressage, so it's actually the really good ones. But I think after that I'll be good for the year.
You've seen enough dressage?
I'll be having
fun
for the year, yeah.
If you want, I've got a horse show this weekend. I'm doing a one-day mock horse trial if you want to come watch some more dressage with Edward. I'm going to bring the on board, you know, and get the equine chill from Omega Alpha, get that going. We're going to keep trying. We're going to get him calm one of these days. Someday he's not going to think he's going to a race. And the good news is that the dressage arena that I'm going to be riding in is surrounded by a racetrack. So that should really relax.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, that's no problem. Are you going to hear the bells and the gates going, zing, and they're off?
They try not do that during the dressage. I mean, it's like a half-mile track. It is a tiny little track. So, no, please, no galloping. I think they try to curb the galloping during the dressage show, but you never know. There's always idiots out there. So should be great. Really successful.
You could be like Eddie Redmayne out there going your 100-yard dash toward the Queen of England.
Yes. Yes.
All right, that's it, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Jamie, we'll talk to you next Monday. Have a terrific weekend and good horse show.
Thank you very much. You guys have a great one. Favorite or gals? Talk to you Monday.